The following content has been provided by New St. Andrews College in Moscow, Idaho. For more information, visit us online at www.nsa.edu.
All right, chapter 27 of the Word and Sacraments, Westminster Confession of Faith. Paragraph 1. Sacraments are holy signs and seals of the covenant of grace, immediately instituted by God, to represent Christ and his benefits, and to confirm our interest in him, as also to put a visible difference between those that belong unto the church and the rest of the world, and solemnly to engage them to the service of God in Christ, according to his word. So, what is a sacrament? A sacrament is a sign, and it is a sign that seals what it signifies. It's not just a sign in the sense of a pointer, or a sign by the side of the road. It not only points, but it also seals. The sacraments of the Christian religion, therefore, are those which signify and seal the covenant of grace. We know that a practice is such a sacrament if it was instituted by God in order to represent Christ and his salvation. A sacrament is placed upon a particular individual in order to establish a link between the promises of the covenant and that person, okay? And that's what's sealed. The promises of the covenant and are attached and sealed to that person. A sacrament is also given as a means of distinguishing the saints of God from those who are not. As a result, those with such a divine mark are obligated by it. We must remember in this discussion that sacraments are inescapable. If we do not accept the two sacraments established by the Word of God, then we will make up our own sacraments. Here, sign this card. Throw your stick in the fire. Make your resolution. Last night of youth camp. Paragraph 2. There is in every sacrament a spiritual relation or sacramental union between the sign and the thing signified, whence it comes to pass that the names and effects of the one are attributed to the other. Okay, now this is something we understand quite well in other realms, and it is not hard to master. With this ring, I thee wed. Really? The metal makes you married? Well, no, but it's what's called a performative act. You put the ring on, and the symbolism of the ring and the occasion of it, the circumstances surrounding it, means that it accomplishes it accomplishes the action that we've assigned to it. When someone is inaugurated as president, he puts his hand on the Bible, he raises his right hand, he takes a particular oath, and after he does that, they hand him the nuclear football. Before that, he can't touch it. Afterwards, he can touch it. Before the wedding, for a couple to sleep together would be a sin. After the wedding, it'd be a sin not to. Well, what changed? What changed is the performative act. With this ring, I thee wed. So the water cleanses, in this sense, in this way, the water cleanses us and washes our sins away. But only a spiritual bonehead would think that water all by itself can wash away sin. Water can't wash away sin any more than gold can make you married. But if I stand next to a Christian minister and I take a vow and he applies water to me in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, something objective and covenantal is occurring there. Paragraph 3. The grace which is exhibited in or by the sacraments rightly used is not conferred by any power in them, neither doth the efficacy of a sacrament depend upon the piety or intention of him that doth administer it, but upon the work of the Spirit and the word of institution, which contains, together with a precept authorizing the use thereof, a promise of benefit to worthy receivers. Now, there is no power in the sacrament itself. There is power in that which the sacrament is tied to, which would be the blessings and covenant, the blessings and curses of the covenant itself. This being the case, the sacrament does not depend for its efficacy on the godliness of the one administering the sacrament. Suppose a pastor runs off with the church organist the day after somebody's baptism. does that nullify the, and the whole tawdry story comes out, they've been having an affair for 3 years, and so he was an adulterer when he performed the baptism. Does that nullify the baptism? Not at all. The applications of the sacrament are objective, meaning that the Spirit is at work in the words of institution. The Spirit is objectively at work. And this is what brings about the resultant blessings or curses. Paragraph 4. There be only two sacraments ordained by Christ, our Lord, in the gospel. That is to say, baptism and the supper of the Lord, neither of which may be dispensed by any, but by a minister of the word lawfully ordained. Now, as opposed to the teaching of Rome, we Protestants believe that there are only two sacraments, not seven. So the Roman Communion says that there are seven sacraments, and we say there are only two. We say that those two are baptism and the Lord's Supper. According to the confession, they are to be administered by lawfully ordained ministers of the word. Now, I would argue that this is a good idea for reasons of good government and accountability, but I don't believe it should be a confessional issue. What should be a confessional issue is that the rulers of the church are responsible to see to it that a right understanding of the sacraments is to be preserved, along with the right administration of them, and so at the very least, they should oversee and approve all occasions where the sacraments are administered. They can do that by ordaining a man to the ministry. That's one way of overseeing it. Another way they can oversee it is, let's say there's no minister available. Should a church, let's say you've got a church up in the Yukon or something, and it's going to be 6 months before a minister arrives, I believe that the elders of the church should commission one of their existing elders to administer the Lord's Supper. And so basically, I think the elders are responsible to see to it that a right understanding is maintained and preserved and everything is done in good order. But I don't think that if it's going to be months before a lawfully ordained minister gets there, that the people have to be starved. Paragraph 5. The sacraments of the Old Testament, in regard of the spiritual things thereby signified and exhibited, were, for substance, the same with those of the New. So the New Testament era did not usher in new sacramental realities. The people of God have always had the sacramental reality of initiation and nurture. That's what baptism is birth, the Lord's Supper is being nourished to grow. So the sacrament of initiation and the sacrament of strengthening and nurture. What changed was the visible nature of the signs, not the constant reality of the things signified. So in the Old Testament, they had circumcision and they had Passover. We have baptism and the Lord's Supper.
New St. Andrew's College, thanks you for listening.